Smoking Section.
Here we are, another episode of Smoking Section Podcast. I have here a guy who we have a connection, and I'll explain the connection later on in the show, but we have a connection besides listening room and getting drunk together. he's written songs for Luke Holmes, Chris Lane, FGL, Luke Bryan, and Jordan Davis' new single.
Yeah.
He has over 630 million streams.
Oh, boy. Lucky.
First solo male artist to reach number one in 2020.
Really?
You got number one. You got number one during COVID, bro.
I don't know if that's a good thing. Yeah, no, it's like, damn, the timing was.
Oh, man.
Not exactly how you draw
it
up.
It's not exactly how you draw it up, you know? Ladies and gentlemen, we have here my good buddy, Jamison Rogers. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. Good to be here. We've been talking about doing this for a little while.
I know. It's been a long time coming.
I see you repping the Eagle sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Hoodie. Is that you confident or what?
Yes.
You feel good or I feel a little uneasy about it?
I feel good. I feel good. Obviously, anything can happen, but I feel like this is our year.
Yeah.
And then there's a TikTok going around someone sent me of someone who predicted the next 10 years from 2015 of Super Bowl wins.
Yeah.
And he's been right so far.
What?
For the last 10 years.
What, like a psychic or something?
I don't know what it is. I'm going to show you when we get done. But he pretty much made it to where, like, the Eagles were going to win this year.
Yeah.
Bills are going to win next year.
Oh.
Bengals are going to win in the next 4 years or some shit like that. But he's been right.
Dang.
Since 2015.
Well, good for him.
So,
my thing, I was talking to my dad this morning. I was like, I feel like the Eagles have a better team.
Mm-hmm.
But my only thing that worries me is that the Chiefs, I feel like they feel like they've been disrespected the last couple weeks, maybe. And that worries me a little bit.
It worries me a little bit, but also it's Patrick Mahomes.
I know. Yeah.
He and this is nothing against Jalen Hurts, because I love Jalen Hurts, but
I'm stuck.
He Mahomes is on a different level.
I
just listened to today. He's been in the NFL for 5 years, and he's been this is fourth Super Bowl, but also he's had five home field advantages in the playoffs.
Mm. True.
Every year.
He always gets to play the...
He always gets to play the home field.
Well, I mean, that's...
Which is
when
like...
When you win in the regular season, you get it. I mean, whose fault is that?
Like, what the hell, you know? It's like, you can't really pass that up, you know?
Jalen's a baller.
Jalen's a baller. Jalen, he's definitely improved a whole lot.
Yeah. So. I saw where Mississippi... I'm from Mississippi, obviously, but it was like 9 players in the Super Bowl from Mississippi. It's like tied for the most in state or whatever.
No
Mississippi
shit.
Mississippi representing.
Maybe Mississippi.
We're the new Georgia, dude.
You know, Georgia folks in that motherfucker. Well, Georgia wasn't that motherfucker. Let's talk about it, because you mentioned Mississippi.
Yeah.
You grew up in Mississippi. What town in Mississippi did you grow up in?
Batesville, Mississippi.
Batesville, Mississippi. What's like population?
Probably about 10,000.
Oh, okay. It's a small town,
but it's not tiny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's still, everybody knows everybody.
I had a friend who went to high school with 19 kids.
Oh, yeah. No, I graduated with 250.
See, I graduated 775.
Where were you? Where'd you rank?
774.
Where was that? In Philly?
No, I was in South Jersey.
Oh, South Jersey.
South Jersey. Yeah, it was. It took a long time to call the names.
Yeah.
Of everyone. Even though everyone didn't graduate, you still get your name called.
I feel like 250 is like that, right at the line where you know everybody.
Yeah.
But you don't hang with everybody.
Yeah.
But 770, I mean, you don't know everybody.
I don't know everybody. Everyone knew me, though.
Yeah.
I was a black guy wearing cowboy boots, so.
All right. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
You know, yeah. It's quite all right to be known some way, somehow.
Yeah.
So when did you move to Nashville?
2010.
We've been here the same amount of time.
What month?
2010, January.
I moved here August 2010.
Good man. Lord.
Wait, so you were, the flood was in May.
The flood was in May. So I was supposed to go back. I was going to school at MTSU. Oh. And I was supposed to go back home that weekend. The flood happened. So I ended up staying at a buddy's house.
Because, so were you affected by the flood?
I couldn't drive.
Yeah, I know.
You couldn't drive anywhere. So it's like, and I had to drive down 440 to get... I know. Get home. So it's like, well,
stay in here.
Just stay in here for another weekend.
But your house or apartment didn't.
No.
I was
in Murfreesboro. I was in the dorms at that point. So it was like, I mean, the bottom floor was flooded, but like, it wasn't like as bad as the Opry. The funny part is, the week before was the first time I saw the Opry.
Crazy.
And Chris Young, Jimmy Dickens, and someone else played.
Jeez.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Dickens, man. Good Lord.
Yeah. That was crazy.
So yeah, it was that was pretty
13 years.
13 years. We've seen it. We've seen this town grow.
Man.
We've seen this town grow.
It flies by.
It flies by, and it's like
the first four don't. I mean, it's like it doesn't feel like it. I mean, it's just like a dream.
No, I don't remember the first four.
First four,
I drank too much.
Me just going to writer rounds and writing bad songs. Just
I was booking artists the first four.
Really?
Yeah. At a venue.
Really?
Yeah.
What venue?
Called That's Cool. It used to be called That's Cool. Yeah.
I used to play there.
Yeah. I used to book there.
Toby Limley.
Yeah.
He's from Mississippi. That's how I know him.
Yeah. I used to book that venue.
Really?
That's how I met Sarah.
Oh my God. I was going to ask you that because I knew you'd known Sarah longer than me, right?
Yeah, I've known Sarah. We went to college together.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I met cool. Sarah. I forget what class it was.
I mean, I played it. That's cool. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, but that, God, that was so long.
Jimmy played there. Jimmy Allen played there.
Really?
Drew Ball just played there.
That place didn't last long, man.
No, it lasted about 2 years, three years.
Cool concept.
It was a cool concept.
I still talk with Toby some.
It just didn't have any money coming in. That's
right,
all.
Right. Dang.
I love Toby. Toby's a cool dude.
Is he still live here, right?
He's still here.
Yeah.
He's still here. Traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good Lord. Man. See, told you.
Small world.
Small freaking town, man.
Small world.
Small town. So how was your adjustment? Because I know how my adjustment was. How was your adjustment from Mississippi, 10,000 people to Nashville?
Oh, I mean, it was overwhelming for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't know anyone.
Right.
And I mean, traffic stressed me out. I mean, it still stresses me out. But like, yeah, I can remember just coming up here and like, just Googling open mic. And I just didn't have a clue what to do.
Right.
I just didn't know anyone. I mean, it was just like, you look back and you're just like, would I do that today? Like, would I move to Seattle right now and not know a soul and like pursue a, what do you pursue in Seattle? I don't know. Like
working for Amazon, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's just something you got to be young
I had that thought the other day. Because I was reminiscing. I actually did the same, just reminiscing about things. And I'm like, when I do it all over again.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just like, there's some things I would take out.
Definitely. I mean, if you told me it was going to take this long.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. If you told me I was going to drop out of college 3 times, then, you know.
But I mean, it's like
my credit's going to be a lot better.
Man, a lot of brain fart. Ramen noodles.
A lot of ramen noodles. Still a lot of ramen noodles days. Yeah.
Dude, I had a little apartment in Bellevue when I first moved here, and yeah, it was like $400 a month. You couldn't find
that now.
You couldn't live in someone's shed for $400.
You better live under the bridge somewhere with $400 a month,
dude.
Jeez,
this town, man.
I was paying $300 a month, $325.
Yeah,
in Murfreesboro.
Yeah,
but I had three other roommates, but still. That was all utilities included.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I talked to him. So how I was a late bloomer with like guitar. Like I played baseball and then I ended up when that road kind of came to an end, I played 2 years in JUCO. Mm-hmm. And then I just ended up going to Southern Miss to just finish school, not play baseball. But one of my JUCO teammates played at Southern Miss. And so he let me jump in a house with him and some other ball players down there. And one of them played guitar pretty good. And one of them did like spoken word poetry. It sounds stupid. It sounds silly. But he was like,
it's actually very big.
He was like a baller.
Yeah.
Like he won like Southern Miss Got Talent. He'd get up there. He sounded like Eminem. Just like,
no shit.
3 minutes spoken word and just like hooks after hook and three. You know what I mean? And so us three sat down and started playing. So I talked the spoken word poetry guy into moving up here with me. Because I couldn't have come up here by myself.
See, I didn't do that. I didn't. Yeah. I wish I had friends that would have moved up here with me.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I would have done it if I'd had to come completely by myself.
No, I came completely by myself.
Yes.
It was actually kind of funny because I had my tonsils taken out maybe like a month and a half before I moved down here. And my ear, nose, and throat doctor happened to be from Murfreesboro.
Really?
And that was in Jersey. So that was like, he had just moved up there. Huh. And I'm like, oh, he's like, oh, I'm from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And I'm like, no shit. I'm about to go to MTSU.
That's crazy.
So I like became friends with him and his kids and his whole entire family.
Yeah.
So like I kind of knew someone here, but like I didn't really know anyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a town to do it in though.
Oh yeah, it's a melting pot. So yeah. Did you study like music biz?
I did.
Like you wanted to be what?
Well, I wanted to be a songwriter.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I actually had a hold. I'm not going to tell the artist, but I actually had a hold.
Really? Hell yeah.
Unpublished hold. And then I stopped.
You just like,
I woke up the next day after I found out I had a hold and was like, yeah, I'm done.
Goal accomplished.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all I ever wanted.
It's all I ever wanted. It was a hold. Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta tell me the whole dude.
Then I got into is like, you know, I got into the business side of things. Yeah. I'm like, I could probably do this better than I do songwriting.
I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel the same way sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I listen back to the old to the song I had a hold and I'm like, this shit was garbage.
Believe me, we've all been there.
It's like all this been shit there. Was garbage. What the hell?
Dude,
what the hell was this artist thinking?
I have stuff that makes me cringe, man. And some of my buddies from Mississippi still have like
the demos?
Yeah. CDs from like 2010, 2011.
Ooh.
I'm like, bro, y'all gotta burn those things, man. I'm scared somebody's gonna come out. Gosh.
Those are blackmail. Those are blackmail materials, by the way.
Brutal. So brutal. So brutal.
So what was your inspiration? Because you baseball, you said you were a late bloomer. What was your inspiration on pursuing?
Man, it's
music?
Funny, like I always loved to sing.
Right.
I was always a fan of music. Like I can remember being in middle school when my mom bought me like the Casey and JoJo record and I'm just singing, oh my life. I'm just like top of my lungs in the bedroom, you know what I mean? And so just always been a fan of all kind of music. And like, you know, baseball was like the rock and roll music they play in between innings. And then my dad loved the old traditional country. And so there's all kind of stuff in my head all the time. And my granddad, my dad's dad, actually had a band. Like he was a band called the Delta Playboys. Like they were like the first band to play on the radio station there in my hometown. And so it's been like rooted in my family.
Right.
And I had an uncle that moved here and made a little noise back in the 80s, but just couldn't quite get it going. And just my whole dad's side of the family, very musical. And I just always used to joke, like even in high school, I didn't even know how to play guitar, but people would be like, what are you going to do? And I'll just be like, I'm going to move to Nashville one day and be a country singer. But I'd say it in like a half-hearted way. In case if I didn't do
it.
In case
you didn't do it.
They couldn't like hold me to that. But
yeah, here's the thing is that I never said that I was moving to Nashville.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
It was never in the plan for me. I worked in radio in Philly and I was interning it the first semester I interned.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, oh, you should go to Nashville. I'm like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
I'm stuck in Philadelphia. Like, I'm not.
Yeah.
But then it was like, I got tired of like all my friends who are becoming police officers, teachers, and cops. No disrespect to the nurses, but I knew that I didn't want to be a teacher. I knew I didn't want to be a cop, and I knew I damn sure didn't want to go to the medical field,
right?
Because I'm not that smart,
right? Same. Same. So thank God for him.
Thank God, exactly.
Goodness.
Exactly. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Like, I'll have to figure something out.
Yeah.
So I got into radio, and I'm like, all right, this could be something I can do.
Yeah.
This could be something I can do.
Perfect.
It's like perfect. So then I got into freaking songwriting. I'm
still
like,
still with music.
I'm still with music. So it's like, cool. But you can't do anything.
Yeah.
The one advice I got was like, you can't do anything impactful.
Yeah.
In music, if you're not in a music city.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Totally.
So it's like, well,
some people have a hard time grasping that. They're just like, I can be the exception.
I've been doing good.
Yeah. It's just, and I mean, you know, with the way phones are now and social media, if there's ever a time to do it, not in Nashville, is now.
Now.
You know, but I can remember back also, like, I forgot to, like, I remember seeing Garth like at the Pyramid in Memphis. It was
the arena there.
Yeah, it was a venue. Now it's Bass Pro Shops
with a hotel in it.
Yeah, and I know it's
with a really nice hotel in it.
But I remember seeing Garth there in like the early '90s. I was 5-6 years old, and he used to smash the guitar, you know. And I just remember, I was like, oh my, I don't even know what this is, but this is. Makes me feel all the things, you know what I mean? So I don't know, as a kid, maybe I just made that decision then,
you
know what I mean?
You had your calling then.
Yeah, and then Eric Church came out when I was a freshman in college, kind of when I first started picking up the guitar. And so I was like, oh, you can do this? I didn't know this was a lane you could go down. And then it just spiraled.
He created a whole lane of his own, you know.
He was like the only dude singing songs dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's weird.
Exactly. So let's talk about this. Let's fast forward. We're going to bounce around, but let's fast forward because as we mentioned already, the connection is that I went to college with your wife, Miss Sarah Allison Turner, who I love to death. I swear to God, she's the sweetest human being I've ever met. She's so soft-spoken.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen her mad.
I know. Well, I haven't until we got married. Yeah. She saved those cards, you know? I'm kidding.
So, let's take me back to when you guys first met.
Yeah. I can remember it like it was yesterday. It was, so I moved here 2010. She moved here 2011 to go to MTSU. Mm-hmm. And there was a Bluebird workshop. Barbara Cloyd workshop, where it was like, you know, you submit to be part of it, and they pick like 12 writers, and then they bring in publishers, and there's classes, and you get to play songs for publish, all this stuff. And so we were both in that workshop together, and we just, you know, became friends, and we just, you know, chatted that day or whatever. But I just remember seeing her and being like, oh, that's, she looks like a keeper. And so it turned into like, it started as like just a writing friendship relationship kind of thing. But we always kind of, or at least I always had a crush on her, but it just took a few years kind of for the stars to line up.
It's crazy. Cause like, cause this is before I even met you. I was, me and her, so me, I would book her and Drew Baldridge. And then me and her would drive back to Murfreesboro, and we'll end up at the Waffle House.
No way.
And we would just sit there and just freaking talk and just like plan like goals and shit like that.
No way.
And
I did not know that. The first time me and Sarah wrote, I guess she was like, she didn't want to asked me to come to Murfreesboro, and she was probably just didn't want to come to my apartment or something.
Right.
You know? So we wrote it Whole Foods. in Green Hills.
What?
Upstairs in like where you'd sit down to eat. So people are just walking by us with like plates of food, just like, what are y'all doing? We literally wrote a song in Whole Foods.
No shit. First time. Remember the name of the song?
It was something about a river. Of course. Leave it to me. Write a song about a river.
That's fucking hilarious. I need to
dig that up somewhere.
You need to dig that up.
Yeah.
So how's it feel? How's it feel that you guys have a single out together on another artist?
Oh, man. I mean,
For everyone who doesn't know, they wrote Jordan Davis's Money Isn't Real.
That one was it's super cool. I mean, obviously, but that was one. Man, I got that idea from the movie Blow.
Yeah.
That movie.
Yeah.
Or Johnny Depp. It's like he's at the end and he's like, he gets arrested for the final time and his daughter is like devastated.
Yep.
He like screws up her life and they bring him a tape recorder in and they're like, your dad's like probably going to die soon.
So right.
If you want to send him a message. And he hits record and he's just like, you know, Dad, I'm 42 years old and I'm 42 years old and I finally realized what you meant when you told me when I was a kid that money wasn't real. And I was just like, oh my God, it makes me emotional thinking about it now just because me and my dad have such a close relationship. But I used to say that all the time to Sarah because that scene just resonated with me so much and something would come up like, let's buy whatever, a new couch, whatever it was.
Right.
And I go, like, money isn't real. You know, and she would always go, ha ha. And I probably said it 100 times. And then one day we were just like, we should write that. Like, that's a song idea. And so we always love to bring in Josh Thompson. He's just one of our favorite writers.
He's a badass writer.
Oh, he's a stud. Yeah. And Jake Mitchell's like one of my closest friends. And we just text them. We're like, y'all want to write this idea with us? And we threw it together. But, dude, me and Sarah, people ask all the time if we write. It's more of an organic. We don't have like a monthly right. or a weekly schedule. It's just like if we're sitting around the house and
if it happens.
Organically, somebody says an idea in a sentence and we're just like, damn, that's a great idea. We write it down and then in a week or a month, we're just like, who should we write this with? And then we just text somebody. You know what I mean? It's like Jeez. One of those things. But instead of like having we write every other Thursday. I mean, it's nothing like that. It's no pressure with us.
That, I mean, and I think that's how it should be though.
Yeah. Oh, it has to be.
It has to be. Cause it's like, if you, like, you know, you don't, you kind of want to have your own identity.
Mm-hmm.
As not as a couple, but also as individuals.
It's funny too, because we run with like two, not completely different crowds, but like, I mean, part of our crowds kind of intersect, but you know, I have the boys and girls that I kind of clicked with along the way and she has the same. So it's cool to kind of combine those circles here and there.
It's crazy. It's crazy to see, it's crazy to see where we both, where me and her both started.
Yeah.
To where we are now.
That's crazy. I knew y'all went to college. I didn't know y'all were.
Yeah. We were buddies.
That was cool.
We were close buddies.
Yeah. That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah. We were close buddies. We went. We used to go to Waffle House all the freaking time.
Oh like, my God.
Get some waffles.
Wild Sarah Jean.
Wow. She's wild, man. She's wild.
Oh, man.
Wow. But so that's some of the proposal. Like, what's a
proposal?
How was the proposal?
Ah, dude, I had to do it at the Bluebird just because I met her there. What else am I going to do? And so, dude, it was during COVID. I kind of got lucky because the Bluebird was closed.
Right.
And so they were letting people rent it out for stuff because there wasn't any shows. Shit.
There was no money coming through.
There was no money. So they were just having to rent it out for various things. And I hit them up and they're like, yeah, that would be amazing. Like, you rent it out this day. And so, dude, I had my manager, JP, send Sarah an email saying like, cause I was like, how am I going to get her there?
Right.
Like without her sniffing it out. And like, kind of dressed up, right? Put together, you know what I mean? And so we made up. It was a fine line because I didn't want it to seem like so cool that it like. So we made up that it was a documentary being shot. And so I was like, the Circle Network. I had been doing some stuff with them at the time, and so I was like, the Circle Network is putting together this Bluebird documentary, and they wanted some female songwriters to be a part of it that they hadn't. Used before. And so, but I was like trying to trick, cause I didn't want it to be like something she was so looking forward to that it right. was like, oh, you, I was looking forward to being on the Circle Network. You know what I mean? It was like,
God.
So we even sent like questions that were going to be asked. I mean,
y'all went into great detail.
We went far cause she pulled up. And so I got there and I, put all the flowers and stuff, candles and, She gets there early, and she gets there like 20 minutes early, and I'm not even done setting up. And so I see her in her car and she's on her phone, and I was like, JP, I guarantee you she's in there going over those questions. And that was exactly what she was doing, man. It was so funny. She walked in and she was just like, she had a mask on too, which I wish because you got the photos.
Yeah.
Whatever. If I could change one thing, but I don't even know how I could have done it because it was heavy COVID at the time.
Yeah.
So it was you couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And so if I would have said, also don't wear a mask she'd have been like, huh?
That would have thrown everything off.
But it was.
Wow.
I give myself some credit for that one. That was pretty well played.
I mean, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. Yeah. I'm getting some ideas.
It's better than
for future. For future girlfriends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I was gonna say it's better than. And then I was thinking of examples that my friends have done. I was like, I better not say that.
Yeah, 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 yeah. We won't mention Adam Doliak.
How did he do it?
Oh,
I forget.
He did like this whole elaborate like movie theater.
Oh, that's right, the Franklin Theater.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. On her favorite movie, and I'm like, like, what is going on? And like, you just made it really hard for any other guy.
You know, Doliak. Me and Doliak. We're in a band together in college, you know.
No shit, no.
That's Southern Miss, yeah.
No shit.
He was the drummer. We were a band called Silky Smooth. we played a total of about 3 shows.
Oh my God. What kind of music you play?
Oh God. Just, we had a 4-hour set and we knew about 12 songs, so.
Jesus.
Doliak.
Good Lord.
He would sing Let's Get It On. That's the only song he would sing. Crazy, man.
That's hilarious. Crazy. That's funny shit. Let's talk about this new music because.
Yeah.
You just released Going Crazy.
Yep.
And Holding Me Back.
Yep.
And those fucking songs.
Oh, shoot, man. It's, I appreciate it.
Here's the thing about it is that Going Crazy, I listened to it and immediately I went to Hardy's on this fucking song.
Yep. Yeah. He is. Yeah.
Immediately I went to Hardy's on this fucking song.
Yeah.
Because there's something about his writing and that he like his cadence or something.
His phrasing.
His phrasing. It's, I'm like, you can tell when he was written a song. And I'm like, Hardy's on a song. I'm like, is there anything this guy doesn't fucking touch?
Dude, my goal I've known Hardy for so freaking long, and like I can remember way back, I'd just be like, dude, you're an artist. Like, why am I trying to be an artist and you're not? Like, what are you doing? And he's, he would just, cause he like I would have demo, like we'd write songs and he would sing the demo and I'd be like, dude, this is freaking awesome. But he just had no interest in it at the time. And so I've been like a huge fan of his writing for a long, before anybody cared. And so now
now you're opening for him.
I know his. Well, yeah, I am. But now, like when I'm writing with him, like I know his strengths.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, man, if I can just bring in a hit idea, I'll just let him do the thing. You know what I mean? And jeez, just help him along the way. And so that going crazy was just I heard somebody say that in a conversation. Some, you know, about something completely different.
It's crazy because it's like it's. I have it written here in my notes here. I'm like, it feels like a conversation with the boys that has a sense of maturity.
Yeah. 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 For sure.
It's like you're showing a sense of maturity. Like you're like you're fully in love and like you're allowing it to take over you.
And it's tough. It's like the hardest part the hardest thing for writing love songs to me is making it tough.
Yeah.
And I feel like we did that.
Yeah.
With this one. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's a love song, but it's not like.
It's not like cute. Boo-hoo, cute.
Yeah, it's tough. You know what I mean? It's got some.
It's making people, but it's realizing it's like, it's a relatable conversation that boys have with their boys.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's absolutely. Like, because you always have, there's always the group of friends that's like, oh no, like you should like, just stop. Don't get whipped. Don't. Like slow down. Like,
right,
you know,
right.
But it's like.
You hate to admit.
You hate to admit.
Yeah.
That you're so, going fucking crazy.
I know. So I feel like we did it in the coolest way possible. Yeah, but yeah. I've teased that just a handful of times over the last couple months, and people I can tell are ready for that one.
Yeah, I just told a friend, I'm like, I need to promote that as a radio single.
I know, dude.
Needs to be the single.
I know. I hope so.
It needs to be a single.
I hope so.
Let's talk about Holding Me Back. Because Holding Me Back is you go from being in love to pretty much having like.
I can wear a lot of hats.
You can wear a lot of hats. I mean, you going from being in love or going crazy to I can't get over you.
Well, that's the sequel, I guess. Yeah. It's like, okay, is that what it would be?
That's a sequel.
Yeah, it's
that's
like, a sequel. You know, I went crazy for the girl.
Now
we broke up, but she keeps, you know, when I see her out, she still wants to hook up. You know,
it's that booty call.
Oh my God.
It's the booty call.
But
it's the booty call song. It's your booty call song.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. Yeah. I mean, lady ain't had theirs. So why can't you have yours?
It is what it is. You know? But I am excited. Just I work with a new producer on this new batch.
So David Garcia?
Yeah, David Garcia. And who we've been friends a long time. We've written songs together, but it just, you know.
Because he's been producing Carrie.
Yeah, he's produced. I mean, he produces a bunch. He was huge in the Christian world before country. And the stars just had never lined up for me and him to do that. But, you know, now it did. And so he, I don't know. It just feels like a new chapter for me. You know what I mean? Like,
you feel
it's
like,
still me.
Yeah.
But it just like, it's almost like it. It just feels like a new chapter. Maybe it went a level up.
Do you feel
something.
Like you're coming into a new stage?
Maybe so. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
It's just like.
Like this is the I'm here. And I'm
I
here.
Think
and,
so.
And I'm here to stay album.
Yeah.
Kind of
yes.
Ordeal.
Yes. That's what I feel like this is for sure. Because these first two, you know, Going Crazy and Hold Me Back are great. But, I mean, there's one called Mine for the Summer that's one of my favorites that I've it's probably my favorite song I've ever put out. So,
wow.
And that one's, you know, and we still have, you know, others to come as well. So it's,
so basically this is a new year for new album and new.
Yeah. 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 New year, new me.
You new know? Year, new you.
And then it's so funny. Not funny. It's just like everyone is just like, it's a new year. I'm putting new music. It's just like, God, how do you stand out? It's like,
that's the hardest issue. You know, it's like, how do you stand out? And I hate to say this. This is not like a gripe towards men in country music, but like, there's a lot of similarities,
dude. Yeah.
With men in country music. So it's like, how do you, and here's my question for you. How do you make yourself stand out?
Yeah. I mean, it's a question I lay in bed every night. And I mean, you have to.
You
it's
have just to. Like,
because you look at the artists that that stand out. I mean, since the beginning of music, mm-hmm. right? I mean, right. It's like, look at Elvis. Mm-hmm. He stood out because he took, you know.
He took black music, yeah, and
black music
and made it, yeah, made it rock and
he
roll.
He was dancing. Yeah. Nobody was doing
No one else was doing that.
And then, you know, you look at...
And Michael Jackson, who's
MJ, anybody really stood out. Yeah. Garth was a rock star
in country music
from the rap. Yeah, you know what I mean, it's just like, and Hardy's standing out right now because no one is doing the
great
metal kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And like really out there. I mean, it's awesome. You know what I mean? But it's like a, you almost have to do some, like it's so many artists and so much music and so much social media. You have to do something like that to stand out. You know what I mean?
There's so much access now.
Yeah.
To different kind of music and to different artists, even artists who aren't signed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Who are getting, I mean, you have Spencer Crandall, who's like freaking huge now.
Yeah.
And, but that's a social media thing, but it's like, you know, back in the day, you couldn't have done that because it was, social media wasn't, you had to do tours.
You had to do the old school shit. Radio tour.
Yeah. So it's like, now it's crazy. So I think that is the hardest thing, is trying to make yourself stand.
So you have to write, I don't know, I'm just trying to write songs and stand out. It's like, you know, it just is what I can't be, you know, anybody I'm not. Right. You know what I mean? Right. So it's like, you just have to, it'll click.
It'll click.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know.
I just had this conversation with Drew Parker on a previous episode about, you know, because he asked the same question, how do you make yourself stand out? Yeah. And he's like, hell if I know. He's like, especially when it's like you have labels who are comparing.
Oh, God, yeah.
And not saying that all labels do that, but like there's a comparison.
Yeah.
Thing in this town
for sure,
where it's like, oh well, this person's doing this and this, and then it gets in your fucking head,
yeah,
and you mind fuck yourself,
yeah, dude. I've said it for years. It's like it's a comparison. You have to compare it to like the WWE,
yeah.
Dude, everyone has to be a character.
Exactly.
I swear, dude, you have to.
That's so true. That's so true.
It's the same. It's the same thing.
I'll be The Rock.
Yeah, right. Right. I don't know. I'll be Shawn Michaels. Heartbreak Kid.
Good Lord. I've never heard that comparison and I fucking love it.
Now when you really see artists, you're going to be like, oh, that's the...
That's the Undertaker.
Yeah. That's the guy that went to jail. Exactly. That's the jail guy. That's, you know, that's the...
There's the drug addict right there. Yeah. There's the pothead right there. You're right. Everyone has to play a character. It's a character.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a character.
And the ones that can see that and then point everything towards it intentionally.
Yeah.
That's the ones that really...
Yeah.
You know, Luke Bryan was like... the ass shaker, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he just, for years, he just pointed it towards that.
He was a goofy frat guy.
Yeah. And he just pointed everything towards that and it worked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was no one else doing that.
Yeah.
And then Al Dean was like the
country rock
rocker guy. Yeah.
Yep.
And then Chesney
was Beach. He had FGL who had the Bash Brothers.
Yep. Yeah. Sam Hunt was like R&B and country. I mean, it's just like, I know.
Holy shit. You're not wrong.
Yeah. So what's a normal, like the most normal guy you could possibly think of from Batesville, Mississippi supposed to do? Why don't I just be the normal guy?
Just be the normal guy.
No one else is the normal guy.
No one's a normal guy. No one's a normal guy. You're casted for that.
Yeah.
So what are you looking forward to most of 2023?
Man, I'm putting out this new chapter of music for sure. That's the stock answer. But I mean, honestly, me and Hardy have been talking about touring together for 8 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When none of us even were sniffing a record deal or anything. We was all, you know, just always talked about doing shows together. And so It's gonna be awesome, man. It's gonna be so much
fun. I'm gonna have to come out to one.
Got to. Dude.
I've only seen you at Listening Room.
Oh, it's a little different.
Yeah, a little different. We were both drunk.
Not surprising.
That's surprising. But I also have only seen Hardy fully at Tortuga.
Okay, so that's probably a couple years.
I missed him at when he opened for Morgan here. Okay, I got there late. But I've only seen him.
I can't wait. Like, I went out with him in December just to write with him for the weekend, and I watched a set, but that was pre
right.
this record coming out.
Right.
So I can't wait to see some of these new songs that, you know, radio song is gonna be that's gonna be fun. That one is crazy.
He just did something for my job and like where he's basically like he's on one channel, but then he's like the rock channel. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
When's the last time a country artist did this shit?
I know.
No one's ever done that.
No one has ever mixed metal with country. It's crazy. I mean, it's awesome.
It's fucking phenomenal.
It's awesome, dude. I mean, Hardy is he's literally one of the best writers to come through here in a long time.
Man. He's a goat. He's doing it the right way, where like literally he has his hand in every every artist, every genre.
He makes time to write.
Yeah.
He could easily just be like, man, I'm too busy.
Yeah.
You know?
He makes time to write, which is fucking phenomenal, because he's like, you know, like I said, you can just tell when you hear a Hardy song.
Oh, totally. Yeah, yeah.
You can tell. And it's just like, that's going to be a fucking hit.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me one.
It's going to be a hit.
I'll take one.
Two more questions here. So Some Girls went number one.
Yep.
Colbert Calling My Name went number one. Which one out of the two is your favorite?
Favorite, like just... personally, or like favorite one to play?
Favorite.
Like favorite. If I had to listen one over and over for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
Some Girls.
Yeah. I mean, I love Colbert Calling My Name, but yeah.
I know.
It's the X to text.
Yeah.
That's the line that gets me. Yeah. It's like, I even stumble on that line when I know the fucking words to the song.
I know. Dude, that song, it's... Yeah. That's another one from way back in the day. Hardy singing the demo. I'm just like, how is this not a hit song? How are you not have a record deal? What are you doing? What is this song doing?
It's insane. It's insane to me how a lot of songs that were written, you know, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, are now.
Makes you wonder if there's any others in there.
Yeah. Maybe some of those CDs from back in 2020.
No, not them. We need to get about 4 years past that. We need to get to at least 2015.
2015 at least?
Yeah.
Good Lord. So who was the first person you co-wrote with?
Brandon Lay.
No shit.
Brandon Lay. Yep.
No shit.
He's the first person I met in Nashville. Him and I can't remember, but Hunter Phelps is one of my oldest friends too. But me and Brandon wrote a song called "The Bible Bottle and the Gun." Talk about dark.
Holy shit.
Good Lord. Yeah, I don't know what we were thinking that day. Shit. But it was bad.
I just had a dark night.
It's probably on that CD that my buddies have. God.
Good Lord. Brandon Lay is a friend of the show. He's been on the podcast before.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. He's very laid back.
Yeah, for sure.
Very laid back. Yeah. So, well, this has been another episode. I want to thank you for coming.
Dude.
Taking the time to do this.
Thanks for having me, man.
It's been another episode of Smoking Section Podcast with the one, the only, Mr. Sarah Alster.
It's true. He's not wrong. It's like Garth says, Mr. Yearwood.
Mr. Yearwood.
Mr. Turner.
Mr. Turner. Mr. Turner. Jameson Rogers, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
From Casa de Monte Cristo in Nashville, you are listening to The Smoking Section.